This is a genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar, Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Amminadab, Amminadab the father of Nahshon, Nahshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. Solomon the father of Rehoboam, Rehoboam the father of Abashi, Abashi the father of Asa, Asa the father of Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat the father of Jehoram, Jehoram the father of Uzziah, Uzziah the father of Jotham, Jotham the father of Asa, Asa the father of Hezekiah, Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, Manasseh the father of Amon, Amon the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile of Babylon. After the exile to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father to Shealtiel, Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel the father to Abihud, Abihud the father to Eliakim, Eliakim the father of Azor, Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, Achim the father of Eliahud, Eliahud the father of Eliezer, Eliezer the father of Mathan, Mathan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, and husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah.
She stands on stage, having been introduced for her award-winning speech. The auditorium of the school is not large, but it is full, with the exception of one seat, the seat her grandfather was supposed to be in. The only seat she really cares about at all, to be honest. Because this speech is dedicated to him. An attempt to explain herself, to name her place in the world, and to offer a new way of being community. She begins, "My name is Paikia Aperana, and I have come from a long line of chiefs stretching all the way back to Waiiki, where our ancient ones are. The ones that first heard the land crying and sent a man. His name was also Paikia, and I am his most recent descendant. But I was not the leader my grandfather was expecting, and by being born, I broke the line back to the ancient ones. It wasn't anybody's fault. It just happened." Whale Rider is a powerful story of culture, gender, and legacy. Set in the changing and challenging realities of the Maori people, the native Polynesian people of New Zealand, Whale Rider follows the life of a young girl. Her mother and twin brother died during childbirth. Her brother, by gender, birth order, and the pronouncement of her grandfather, was to be not only in line as chief, but was to be the great prophet who would bring guidance and restore his people. And the baby girl that is born does not fulfill this hope, despite her father naming her after the prophet of legend. The movie invites us into Paikia's struggle to be accepted and loved for who she is, all the while being pushed away by her grandfather for who she is not and can never be what he was hoping by custom and tradition. As her grandfather opens a school to train all the firstborn boys in the ways of their people, she learns more, excels faster, and is bolder and braver than any of the boys. Not that he can recognize it. And mind you, she does all of this, listening through the windows, practicing on her own, and trusting family members who are willing to help her without grandfather ever finding out. Because her grandfather cannot accept this reality, even when he finds out. It will take a miracle for him to see who she truly is. Her speech at the school shows her wisdom, as she gathers the many things she is learning and connects them with her lived experience. Earlier in the movie, she and her grandfather were fixing a boat, and he used a piece of broken rope to explain the heritage of leaders that stretches back to that prophet and first chief that first Pikeia. Do you see that there? Look at it closely. What do you see? Little bits of rope all twisted together. That's right. Weave together the threads of Pikeia so that our line remains strong. Each one of those threads is one of your ancestors, all joined together and strong all the way back. It should not be overlooked that her grandfather uses broken rope as his metaphor, as his outlook can only see the line as now broken, a failure which he cannot seem to fix. This idea of lineage, of our connections tying back, it appears in our scriptures as well. In the Hebrew Bible, these lineages are plentiful, a cultural necessity that outlines generation after generation. They're sometimes overlooked for their meaning. They're often skipped over, referenced merely as, the begats. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. These accountings of generations connect each person in the story of others. And it's what the author of the Gospel of Matthew was doing when he began his writing. Each of the four Gospels in our scripture had a different original audience. It was written for someone specific. For Matthew, that was a Jewish audience to whom he was introducing the story of Jesus. So he puts his efforts into telling the story of Jesus in a way they would recognize. He opens with a genealogy. It is a long list of names. And in that list are a few surprising appearances. Mingled amidst the dozens of names are five women: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. Each of these women are worthy of sermons or Bible study sessions all their own. Now, Ruth has been the focus of sermons twice in the last few months. So let me give you some insight into the other women named in this genealogy. Tamar's story is complicated and burdened by cultural understandings that are very foreign to us. After being widowed, she is not cared for by her husband's family the way she should be. So she takes the initiative to be provided with a son by tricking her father-in-law into fathering a child with her. She was initially treated and named a prostitute by her community until her father-in-law acknowledged his failure to care for her. Her determination and strength to seek justice and be made whole were the line through which the lineage continued. While Tamar was labeled a prostitute over one moment in her life, most likely that was Rahab's long-term occupation combined with work as an innkeeper. But when Hebrew spies were about to be caught in Jericho, she was the brave and daring person who protected them. She took initiative to learn about their God and continued her support of these people who were not her own as they returned on their journey to the Promised Land. She made the Promised Land possible. She was welcomed into the Hebrew people, ended up marrying into the tribe of Judah, joining the lineage. Another woman listed in the lineage only as Uriah's wife. But when we read the account in 2 Samuel, we know this woman to be Bathsheba, a woman who was taken from her husband by King David, a moment in David's life that would require much repentance and shift the course of his entire being. But the consequences of his choice did not keep Bathsheba's son from greatness. For Bathsheba would mother Solomon into being. She would nurture and teach him the wisdom he would be known for. And then we arrive at Mary, the last woman listed in the genealogy, because there was no one left between her and Jesus. You know, as we reflect each Advent, Mary was an unlikely person to bring the Messiah. She was young and unmarried. Her pregnancy cast her in unfavorable light. What we find as a recurring theme throughout the lineage of Jesus is God working in unlikely places. Unlikely because of circumstance, unlikely because of custom, but not unlikely because of capacity. That is something these women carried so well. The limitations and expectations that they encountered were not God's. Much like the young Pychia, their gifts and divine spark were overlooked because of the ignorance and cultural boundaries they encountered, not God's. And in that situation, the divine overcomes. You know, women were not usually included in genealogies, so the appearance of these five women is doubly impressive. Having accomplished what they did, it would have been far too common for them to still be left out of the story. In Whale Rider, our heroine is overlooked and left out of her people's story. And where the miraculous moment, as she saves a pod of whales by riding upon one, just as the first prophet rode a whale, where this moment is easily understood as the moment she overcomes her grandfather's closed-mindedness, I want us to turn our attention back to that school stage and her speech. A moment she overcame the limits that had been placed in her own mind. For in her speech, we hear her expand not only her self-understanding, but invite others to join her in something new. Her speech continued, "We can learn. And if the knowledge is given to everyone, we can have lots of leaders. And soon everyone will be strong, not just the ones that have been chosen." Because sometimes, even if you're the leader and you need to be strong, you can get tired. Like our ancestor, Pychia, when he was lost at sea and couldn't find the land and he probably wanted to die. But he knew the Ancient Ones were there for him. So he called out to them to lift him up and give him strength. This is his chant, and I dedicate it to my grandfather. She gives this speech through tears, through broken words, looking at the empty seat where he should have been. But the truth of these words does not need him to hear them. She needs to believe them herself, to believe and know that she and all her people have the potential and the right to offer leadership and strength to all. Had she not come to believe this, she never would have climbed upon the whale to begin with. In the earlier scene with the broken rope, her grandfather throws the pieces down and goes to search for a new rope. Pychia takes the broken strands, ties them, and then uses them to bring the boat to life. And she does that with what had been perceived by her grandfather as broken. Just like a broken lineage, she holds together these frayed and broken pieces, the broken people, by not giving up and seeing the connections as bigger than any one person. This is what we see in God's work through humanity. That perceived brokenness is an opportunity for the grace of God to overcome and be shown for its true strength. Without these women, the lineage would not have been woven the way it was. The ultimate expression of the divine presence was brought into the world through the wisdom, insight, and conviction of women who bridged the brokenness and shared in the leadership of God's kingdom. As we look around our world and all its broken places, may we see and share the strength in ways that do not exclude anyone from the work that God is doing.